Gospel lesson, continuing from Matthew in the 6th chapter, this being what we know to be the Lord's Prayer, one of the most well-known sections in the Bible, and is probably the most recited sections in the Bible. We've noted here a few things in the bulletin here that we've chatted about the first time we gathered here. We're looking at a plural prayer. There are no singular, so it is all we and us and an our, and it is all future tense. So it is all things that we desire, hope, we believe promises have been made, and we are insisting, pleading that those promises be kept. And so therefore we bond together and we say our Father, which is a relational word, is a relationship between the creature and the creator. Then it is future imperatives to make holy your name, to set apart your name above all other names here on earth as it is in heaven, to make come your kingdom now on earth as it is in heaven, to make done your will now on earth as it is in heaven. Then today's verse, give us today, right now, bread for tomorrow. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So there's a Greek word, epiousion, which you've probably never heard of, and most people have not. It appears only one time in the entire Bible. That's in the verse today. It doesn't even appear anywhere in Greek literature. So it may be that it's a made-up word. It may be that the gospel writers coined this word, epiousion, to translate the Aramaic. Jesus spoke Aramaic, and therefore they had to come up with something in Greek to look like whatever the Aramaic word was, epiousion. How to translate it accurately has been a debate for centuries. So there is no 100% consensus. It is definitely an unsettled definition. But it does definitely not mean daily. That's the one thing everybody's convinced about. And yet every time we say the Lord's Prayer, at least if you're using the older version, which we tend to do here, we use the word daily, but that's not the word. It doesn't mean daily. There are no current translations of the Lord's Prayer or liturgical variations of the Lord's Prayer that use the word daily. That's been gone for at least 40 years. So in fact, when we pray the Lord's Prayer today, we're going to use the translation of ICIP, International Consultation on English Texts. That translation, I believe, dates from approximately 1978-79. So for 40 years, more English-speaking churches use this particular translation that's printed in our orders for worship than any other. Well, you're thinking, well, yeah, we still say Our Father, hallowed be the name, daily bread, but that's you're in a minority. That's not where the English-speaking churches have been for 40 years. But that's neither here nor there. So when we say the Lord's Prayer, it's not just going to be something you repeat from rote. You're going to suddenly discover I need to read it, say it, pray it a little more slowly. And maybe this particular translation will grab you like, whoa, I never knew it said that. Well, first of all, we've noted that they're all future tense, and they're all imperatives. God, do this and do that now. It's a prayer for immediacy. So we want the promises to be kept now, not tomorrow. It's right now. These are future imperatives for us, for all your creatures, for all creation that you say you love. So get with the program. But there probably isn't any of us who ever thought of praying our Father who art in heaven, thought of that as future imperatives for Yahweh to do something now that Yahweh has promised, but that's what it is. Epiousion is got to have that kind of future sense to it, because it fits into the structure of the prayer, is to make holy. We're demanding you make holy. We're demanding that you set apart your name here on earth as it is in heaven. Let everybody know you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Make come your kingdom. Okay, so whatever we want to describe the kingdom it is, it doesn't look anything like what's going on in our daily TV shows. This is a kingdom we know to be of love, of harmony, of peace, of equality. May come now. We're tired of all this stuff. Make done your will now on earth as in heaven. So the next verse is probably something more likely. Give us now the bread of the kingdom. Give us the kingdom bread now on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're praying for. We're praying for the Eucharistic bread of peace, of harmony, of brotherhood, sisterhood, of community. Now. Well, that's what we do at the Lord's table. We lift our hearts. We give thanks to the Lord our God. We break the bread, the Eucharistic bread. We taste and see the glory of the Lord. We taste and see the greatness. We experience the saints. Well, I don't see anything. I don't hear anything. No, it's a mystery. That's why they're called the mysteries, sacraments. Eucharistic bread. Give us now the Eucharistic bread on earth as it is in heaven. So this Saturday, our youth are going down to First Food and Friends. I've been going there now for several years. For a soup kitchen. So I'm going to try to insist that they look at that soup kitchen as just a kind of small microcosm, if you will, of what is right now the world's largest homeless shelter soup kitchen for over 40 million people in Ukraine. Because what you can see and hear and experience in this small soup kitchen for, I don't know, 60, 80, 100 people. This is what's daily, 24/7 in Ukraine. Well, except the difference is that if you're in Ukraine, your safety is at risk every ticking of the clock, because you never know when or where missiles from the Russians are going to drop. And that's not the case with the soup kitchen down in Pittsburgh. But other than that, it is still somewhat similar, because people, what? You pack up your entire life into one container, one bag, one shopping cart. That's it. That's what you need, because you may have to prove or verify your identity, maybe your marital status, maybe birth certificates, maybe their workplace credentials, certifications, who knows what, maybe a change of clothes. Your entire life is with whatever you can carry. You have to lug it everywhere. You have to protect it. Your entire life. How many of us could do that? This is not for a weekend retreat. At this point, it's for day after day after day, week after week. We're 4 weeks into this with no possibility of any change in the coming days, weeks, maybe months, maybe years. Nobody knows. That's the hellish life people are living 24/7. Healthcare? Severely limited. First aid? Don't even ask about first aid unless you've got a Band-Aid in your pocket. Heat? Probably not available, because almost no utilities are available. Whether it's sewer, or whether it's trash, or whether it's heat or electricity. Clothing. A change of clothing is not something you're going to be packing with you. Maybe one, possibly. Socks and underwear, maybe, but they get worn out real fast, and there's no laundry facilities. And if you want to think about hygienic products, whether it starts with toothpaste or whether it's dental floss or whether it's feminine products or whether it's any type of hygienic product not available, you can't go shopping for them. You either have them in your one suitcase or bag or that's it. As people who are living, give us right now, Lord, the Eucharistic bread on earth that you promised in the kingdom. When do the Ukrainians have an opportunity to pause in any kind of safety as they are fleeing and in fear to pray together, to taste and see the Eucharistic bread? When can they ever even gather to pray, to sing hymns? So we may see that the lights have gone out in Ukraine. Literally, from satellite photos, you now really have two dark spots on the world. One, you see North Korea. That's for a whole different reason. The lights have been out there for decades and decades. But there's a darkness over Ukraine when sunset falls. But the lights of liberty burn bright in the hearts and the minds of Ukrainians. Bright. And so how can we do anything less than to open our brains, our minds, and find out what is going on from multiple sources, authenticated, verifiable facts. Not these right-wing conspiracy theories. You got to divorce yourselves of all these things, and especially these apologists that Putin is a savvy, smart, wise leader. Now, we've just got to get our minds around this is not verifiable. We're looking at cold-blooded, savage murders here. We're looking at people who, civilians, women and children, who are bombed in their apartment buildings as they sleep. Where can you sleep there? You don't want to sleep in your home or an apartment building. It might be a target. Well, then you try to go maybe underground to a subway platform or maybe to a sub-basement of a sports facility or something, or a theater. Well, no, the theater was then bombed the other day. Women and children and residents in Mariupol have been rounded up. Cell phones, documents confiscated, and then forcibly transported to distant, remote Russian cities. History does not repeat itself. That's what Twain said. He said history rhymes. And this sounds like a rhyme from the 1930s and 40s in Nazi Germany. This is just indiscriminate, wanton, rampant, savage, evil. We're going to open our minds and we are going to learn and learn facts. And then we are going to use our mouths and we are going to communicate that to other people, friends, family, neighbors. There's a whole lot of people. We have some crazy thing in this country where everything is fake news unless it confirms what they already believe. There is no fake news. There are no Nazis in Ukraine. There is no genocide perpetrated by Ukrainians on Ukrainians. The president himself is Jewish. How absurd. We're going to use our mouths to communicate with other people the plight of Ukrainians, the desperation, the distress, people who would like nothing better than to pause and pray, give us, Lord, today, Eucharistic bread of tomorrow. Taste and see the glory of the Lord. No, bombs are dropping. It's time to run. We're going to use our arms to embrace refugees, orphans, widows, anyone who might possibly be welcomed across the borders of this particular country. We're going to use not just our arms and our mouths and our minds. We're also going to use our wallets. Yeah, it costs a lot to defend democracy. It costs money to defend the rights of other human beings, God's children. And with global oil markets just soaring all over the place, We will gladly pay $5, $8, $10 a gallon. What is that pittance to what people live with 24/7? And people who call out for energy demands on Russia that they be reduced and then complain about gas prices, or people who literally vote for those energy demands on Russia in Congress and then go back to their district and complain about rising gas prices, is called hypocritical writ large. No, we will open our wallets in any way we can support Ukrainians, God's creatures who simply cry out, Lord, make come your kingdom, make done your will now. Give us your Eucharistic bread today that we may taste and see the glory of the Lord. You know, you just sort of watch, you listen, it's just one horror story after another. And you feel helpless. You can't do a thing. You wring your hands. We're just ordinary little citizens. But we have one option. We got the wallet option. That's one. It's not much, but it's one. And we have something called 1 grand hour of sharing. 1 grand hour of sharing, so that you know, supports Presbyterian Hunger Program. There's a lot of that. Domestically and internationally. It also supports the self-development of people domestically and internationally. We heard about that last week in church. But it also supports, as one of its major emphases, is the PDA, the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. Right now, as we sit here, monies that have been collected last year in 1 grand hour sharing have been and are being distributed to Ukrainians because people put money in the plate in the fish boxes for the 1 grand hour sharing that go to the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance and are now, at least in some way, alive as our witness to the gospel. So maybe this is the year that we double, triple, quadruple whatever we put in 1 grand hour of sharing. The need is capital N-E-E-D for Ukrainians. So the hope kind of here is that can our youth, okay, so we have a soup kitchen, 50, 60, 80 people who are living by the strings. Yes, they have everything in one package. Everything is at risk. Their health care, their food, clothing, shelter, where do you sleep? Can we see that as a microcosm of there are 40 plus million people living like that 24/7? Our prayer is that they pray, Lord, give us the Eucharistic bread now, today, that we may taste and see. Could we sing the antiphon again to Psalm 34? If you just flip back there a little bit. It's a marvelous psalm, and this antiphon that's lifted out is a marvelous way to lift up. Taste and see. That's what we have the privilege to do when we gather at the table. May that be a privilege and an opportunity that Ukrainians once again experience now, today, on earth, as it is in heaven, in the name of Christ.